This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
And this morning, the last couple of weeks, I've been dealing with the doctrine of salvation. Now, I got a big word this morning, beloved. I'm going to preach this morning on the doctrine of exclusivity. That's nice, ain't it? That's just a big, smart way of saying they ain't but one way to heaven. That's what that means. They ain't but one way to heaven. I want you to look in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Most of you could probably quote this verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When you come to John chapter number 13, all the way down through John chapter number 16, you are in one place. You are in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus has just given to his disciples that word saying, I am about to be offered and crucified. He says, I'm going to die, but I will not stay dead. He said, you put this temple down, and in 3 days it will rise again. They had no idea what he was saying. They didn't comprehend what he was saying. But he said it again in different ways. And this is his comment. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus made that statement, and I'm going to give you a little outline for verse number 1 down through verse number 6, because he makes 3 different statements in those verses. Number 1, he gives to them an encouraging word. He says in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You and I both know that we live in a world of doom and gloom and pain and misnomers and all types of things. But you've got to understand, I was processing this yesterday. Beloved, I know when something is of God, and I know when something is not of God, not by what it says, but by the hope that it gives me. If something gives you hope beyond yourself, above yourself, outside of yourself, you got to understand it is from God. The devil ain't in the hope-giving business. He's in the peace-stealing business. He's in the tear your nerves up business. He is in that kind of business. But when something, even when it tears your nerves up, when somebody says, you're not doing right, but you need to get it right, that can be of God, and most of the time is of God. Because here's what the devil will do. The devil will say, you ain't. But God will come and say, you ain't, but you can be, because that gives hope. And he says, don't let your nerves be tore up. Number 2, he gives an educational statement. He says in verse number 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Man, he had just told those disciples that they were about to be separated. Their master, their rabbi, their teacher, the one that they had bowed to, the one that they had eaten with, the one they had come to trust more than anything, had just said, I'm going away, but don't worry, I am going to do something. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord did go away. He did go to prepare a place, but as he did go to prepare a place, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now they can like it, lump it, bump it, trumpet. He is coming back one day for the people of God. Then he gives a third statement in verse number 6. He gives an exclusive statement. He says, now, I want you all to understand something. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life, but I am the, and I am the. That word exclusivity, it has the idea of being, now I know this tears people's nerves up, it has the idea of being narrow-minded. Can I help you with something? You ain't never met somebody as narrow-minded as God. It don't get no more narrow-minded than God. Here's what God says, and I don't care if I like it or if I don't like it, but this is the exclusivity of God. He says, it's my way or the highway. It's not my way when you like it, and maybe we'll compromise. You know, God ain't in the compromising business. He doesn't really enjoy compromising. He doesn't compromise in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And man, I know people in this day, everybody wants to be politically correct, and they want an inclusive thing. They want an inclusive God. They want an inclusive church. So let me give to you the inclusiveness of the exclusiveness of God. God will let anybody that wants to come in His family as long as they go by His way and do it His way. I'm glad that white, black, purple, green, blue, red, male, female, homosexual, straight, lesbian, transgender, if you'll give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, He says, you can be in my family. Now, I know that's not popular, but the facts are the facts. And here in this day, Jesus is writing, man, those Jewish people that claim to have the way to God and they claim to have the right religion, they were this hodgepodge of just, well, this pantheon of our God and our religion is one way and our God and our religion is another way. And Jesus steps out onto that scene and He says, boys, before I go, let me help you with something. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And in this day, ladies and gentlemen, of marshmallow Christianity, where everybody wants to be squishy and everybody wants to be sweet and everybody wants to be accepted, where most pastors look a whole lot more like Mr. Rogers instead of Elijah the prophet standing up saying, thus saith the Lord God of heaven, thus saith the God of all eternity. They're up there and they've got their hands and they do this and they do that to make people feel better. What good have we done if we make people feel better in this life, but they burn in hell for all eternity? I'd rather be uncomfortable for a moment, but in heaven forever, on the right way, knowing the right truth, having the right life, than to feel good about myself. You know the problem with me? The more I feel good about me, the worse I feel. Because when my head feels good, then my knees hurt. And when my knees hurt, then my back hurts. It's physical, then it's emotional, then it's spiritual. Let me help you with something. If you'll go to Jesus Christ, your spirit will be fixed, and you go into a place where your body will be fixed, and He'll be in the process of fixing yourself. He is an exclusive God. There's only one way to get to God. But here's the best part about it. He is not real picky about who He chooses and who He lets come into the family. He'll let smart people and He'll let unsmart people come into the family. He'll let rich people come in and He'll let poor people come in. He'll let those that live on the right side of the track and He'll let those that live on the wrong side of the track. And in fact, He loves all those people so much, He says, if they're on the wrong side of the track, I'll go to their side of the track and I'll go and I'll get them and I'll say, come unto me. But if you're going to get in the family of God, there's only one way to get in the family of God. You see, this thing we call the Christian way, it is not a part on equal playing field with Muslim Christianity or Muslim religion and Roman Catholicism Christianity. It's not on the same playing field with Buddhism. It's not on the same playing field with the Mahdi and the Imam and all of this and that. It's not on the same playing field with any of those. And it's not because it's a Baptist way, and it's not because it's a Methodist way, and it's not because it's an interdenominational way. It's the right way because it's God's way, and that's what makes it the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other but by the name of Jesus Christ. And I wish somebody would stand up in this day that's going headlong into hell, and somebody would stand up with love in their heart but with fire in their soul and a backbone like a saw log and say, there is still a way to heaven, and it is the way to heaven, and you can be a part of the family of God. Now here's what I'll say. He makes this statement. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here is one way, let me give them to you right quickly, on the exclusivity of salvation. I like that word, but I feel as if I shall get tongue-tied at some point in this journey. So just so I don't say anything that we have to wipe from the record, I think I'll just say one way to know God. One way to get to God. Let me give them to you right quickly. Number one, without Jesus Christ, He is the one way to go. He is the one way to go. Look at what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. What is a way? A way is a path between two points. It is the pathway to get from where you are to get to where you hope to be. From where you currently is to where you currently hope to get. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the way. Here's what Jesus said. He said, this is where you are, but that is where you hope to get. Now, what is that? Before we can figure out what this is, we got to figure out what that is. When you figure out what that is, then you'll understand what this is. Too many people try to fix the this without figuring out the that. But once you figure out that, then you can deal with this. And if you'll get this right, then you'll figure out that. And if you ever want to get to that, you got to get through this. And the way from get to this, from that, from this to that, to that, to this, you've got to go down the way. Here's what Jesus said. He said, where you are is separated from God. Where you are is not in heaven. But that, where you desire to be, is in the presence of God in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask people this all the time. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? And I've never met, I have met one or two people, and they were not right, but man, one of them, I do believe with all of my heart, probably was a devil worshiper. I said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? They all say, yes, I want to go to heaven. I highly believe if I ask people in this room, where do you want to go when you get to heaven? You would say, I want to go to heaven. I will die when you die. Where do you want to go when you die? I want to go to heaven. And people would say, but how do you get to heaven? Well, I've been thinking about that because Jesus said, I am the way, the only way to get from where you are, separated from an almighty God, to get there to the presence of God. He said, I am the way. Now, when he said that, what was he saying? Was he saying, you got to walk on me in order to get there? You got to do what I say. Here's what he meant when he said, I am the way. He said, the pathway that I set out is the only way to get into the presence of God. What was that pathway? Well, in order to get from this to that, let me use a car analogy, if you'll let me, because ain't nobody around here pretty much walking where you're going. I'm a looking at you, and I'm a saying some of you probably need to park the vehicle and get you a little Fitbit. Here's what we find out. We get in a car to go from here to there. So what is the way that Jesus set out? He said, number one, you got to get in the car of omnipotence. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the car of omnipotence is? That is the fact that God, like I told you last week, has set you up. He's going to do everything in His power to make sure you have an opportunity to be saved. When you get in the car, He said you got to have a driver, and the driver is the Holy Spirit of God. You didn't make your way. You didn't determine your path. Man, the Spirit of God has been moving roadblocks out of the way and to keep you from getting wrecked and shipwrecked in this life. Man, He's been a jiving one way and a swerving the other way and a going this way and that way. People ask me all the time, why is God doing what He's doing in my life? He saw a roadblock in your path and He's trying to keep you on the way to get to there. Then you got to go down the road that is paved with the grace of God. There ain't but one way to get you from where you are in your sin into the presence of a holy God, and that is by the sheer unbelievable, undeniable, unbearable grace of an almighty God. But here's what you'll realize. Right before you get to the presence of God, there is a toll booth. There is a thing. You got to pay a fare in order to get into the presence of God. But when you pull up to the toll booth of God's omnipotent power and God's eternal grace, you find out that there's nobody in the toll booth. You know why? Because they're in the toll booth. The toll has already been paid. The price has already been paid. Nobody in there to tell how good you are. Nobody in there to tell how great you are. The toll was paid with the blood of Jesus Christ, and all you've got to do is enter in by the way of the cross, repenting of your sin and saying, Lord, I trust Jesus Christ. Man, I heard a lady say one time, she said, well, getting to heaven is a lot like going to Chicago. You can go down this road and get there, or you can go down this road and get there, or you can go down this road. I said, man, there's only one problem with your synopsis. When I die, I'm not planning to go to Chicago. I'm trying to get to heaven. Therefore, you may have a lot of roads to get you into Chicago, but there ain't but one road and one path to get you into the presence of God. That's why Jesus said to those Jews, he said, it's not by the Ark of the Covenant. It's not by the mercy seat. It's not by the altar. It's by the blood of the crucified Lamb of God. And this is what I tell God's people all the time. People say, but preacher, I've messed up. Preacher, I'm not perfect. Thank God you don't have to worry about that, because you're not walking down a way and driving down a way off of your perfection. You're going off of the perfection and the righteousness of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. You realize your hiccups aren't even roadblocks on the path of salvation. You know why? Because the road was paved with the mercy of heaven, put down by the power of God. And the devil has been unable for 2,000 years to put the first pothole in the road of God's grace and mercy, and he'll try for all of his time, but there'll always be a smooth path as long as you go by the way. Man, that lying lady on my phone, you know what I'm talking about? Turn right here. Preacher Lemons used to say, that's the lyingest woman I ever met in my life. Anybody ever been messed up using one of them? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't trust those things. I don't trust them. You know why? Here's why. Because no matter how much they think they know, stuff changes. And the city and the state has determined to do road work at the most inconvenient times and don't tell anybody, especially that woman on my phone. Man, I'll get down the road. I'll be riding down the road, and it'll say arrival, and it'll give me the time. And I don't pay attention to that thing too much. I just listen for it to tell me. And all of a sudden, it'll start adding time. And it just adds and adds. And then the next thing it'll say is, recalculating. Y'all been down this road before. Am I right about it? Can I help you with something? When you get on the roadway paved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there'll never be a recalculation. There'll never be an adjustment to the schedule. There'll never be anything that keeps you from getting there. It's already been moved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the only way to get there. You can't go Muhammad's way. You can't go Confucius' way. You can't go Joe Biden's way. You can't go Donald Trump's way. You can't get there by the elephant, by the donkey. You can only get there by the lamb. There is but one way. There's only one path. It's not an American way. It's not an African way. It's not a European way. It's not an Asian way. It is the way of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the only way to get there and to go. Number two, here's what he said. He said, I'm the way. And he said, number two, I'm the truth. He said, there is only one way to go. But number two, there's only one way to know. What is truth? Truth is that which confirms reality. It is that which confirms the state of where you're at. Beloved, hear me now. You can't operate without truth. It's not possible. You can't operate without truth. You say, I don't operate with truth. Yes, you do. Let me help you. Stick your hand in fire, and what happens? Burned. How many times will it burn? Okay, time out. You stick your hand in fire, and it'll burn you every time. You know why? Because that's the truth. You go out here and play chicken on Cone Boulevard. You gonna be a hood ornament at certain point in your journey. You may duck, dip, dive, and dodge, but you're gonna die one day. You know why? Because you can only tempt danger for so long. Fellas, if you go home today and your brand new bride has made you a meal, and you sit down at that table, boys, and you cut that thing open, and you look and you say something to this effect, "That ain't how my mama did it." There is a truth that dictates your fate. So don't tell me we don't live by truth. When you remove truth, you don't remove truth. You remove knowledge of the truth. If you have a 120 outlet on the wall and you mamas know exactly what happens, you're going to have one of your children that's going to desire to see what happens when you stick your finger in them three holes. Now, if you remove knowledge of the truth and you don't tell them and don't mention to them, you're going to get shocked when they stick their little digit in that. Is the fact that they don't know going to change the fact that they're about to feel something like they've never felt? No. You know why? Because you didn't remove the truth, you removed the knowledge of the truth. Can I tell you the problem with the people in our society? They are operating without knowledge of the truth. You've told people that they are this, but when they're really that, hoping that if you just tell them enough, if I tell somebody enough that they are this, if I tell somebody enough that they're not that, that's going to change. No, all it does is breed confusion in their minds, because what they're saying is, you told me it was okay to do this, yet I did this and it's all fallen apart. You didn't change the truth. You removed the knowledge. I'm going to go out today to the restaurant and I'm going to tell my waitress, "I went to the Jewish synagogue today." You know what she'll say? "Oh, okay." I'll go today and I'll say, "I went to the Muslim temple today." You know what she'll say? "Oh, okay." But when I go today, and she says, "Why are y'all so dressed up?" And I say, "Ma'am, I just got done in the house of God worshiping Jesus Christ." Son, she'll curdle. She'll get uncomfortable. And she may not, but you know that there's somebody that is. Do you know why that is? Because we have removed the truth. And whenever truth is reintroduced back into people's lives, they would rather say no truth than to say that is the truth. You and I both know you got one of those youngins at your house that you can tell them till the cows come home, "Don't do that." What are they going to do? In fact, I'm going to start telling my kids, "Stick your finger in that." Because I believe with all of my heart, if I say up, and you people that ain't got no youngins yet, you wait. And here's what's happened. We are now living in the first generation of leaders that have zero understanding of what the truth is. So let me help this congregation and those people that'll watch on television and those people that watch on the live stream. What is truth? John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this book with 66 books in it is the truth of God Almighty. It's not the truth if you like it. It's the truth whether or not you like it. It's not the truth if it makes you feel good or doesn't make you feel good. This book right here between these two black covers is the truth of God Almighty. It's the only truth. It's not a piece of the truth. It's not a truth if Republicans or Democrats like it or don't like it. It's not the truth if the preacher likes it or don't like it. Man, I could get up here next Sunday morning and lay my Bible on this pulpit and say that book is no longer the truth. You don't have to believe it. I would have lost my mind, number one, but number two, I would have ceased to change reality. Because whether I believe that book is the truth of God, it is the truth of God, whether I believe it or not. And I'm telling you right now, child of God, when you remove truth from your life, you'll never know what really is. You cannot know life until you know the truth about the giver of life. Now, number three, let me help you with something. There's only one way to go. He said, I'm the way. There's only one way to know. He says, I'm the truth. But then number three, he says, there's only one way to grow. He says, I am the life. I am the life. Now, I'm a-fickin' to impress you folks with my Greek skills. Y'all always get impressed when I talk about my Greek skills. In fact, y'all look at me about like you're looking at me right now. There are two words which indicate life in the New Testament. There is, you ready? Bios. Okay. And then there is Zoe. Don't lose me now. Stay with me. Bios is the existence of a person. Now let me help you. How many of you have seen a loved one, a mother, a father, a grandparent or something, and they're in a nursing home with dementia? With Alzheimer's, and it's gotten to the point, are they living? Yes. But are they living? They're alive. But there's no life. Bios is that living, but the word that Jesus uses here is that word Zoe, which means to be full of life. Jesus said this. He said, when I am not where I ought to be in your life, you will not be able to have full life. Man, I had people tell me the craziest stuff. Y'all wouldn't believe. Am I lying, baby? They wouldn't believe the stuff I hear. People tell me. They say, did you get my text message or did you get my call? No, I have to ignore them. I can't take it. I can't take it. And a lot of y'all just text me and say, I just want to let you know I love you and pray for you. I have a hard time discerning between that one and a text load of crazy. You know what I'm talking about. And they say, preacher, I enjoy life and I don't have God in my life. Here's where they missed it. There's a difference between enjoyment and pleasure. What's the difference between enjoyment and pleasure? Pleasure is what the world gives. Enjoyment is what God gives. Here you go. You ready for the difference? Pleasure and enjoyment, the initial feeling is the same, but the end feeling is different. Pleasure, it makes you feel good, but it doesn't make you feel fulfilled. That's why people bounce from bed to bed to bed. It feels good, but there's no life. But on the other side, Christ said, when I am where I am, you don't just have the feel good, you have the fulfillment. Have you ever had a job and you made money, but you hated it with every fiber of your being? It didn't make you feel what? Fulfilled. That's the difference. Jesus said, when I am in my rightful place, when you're where you ought to be, doing what you ought to do, treat me like I ought to be treated, talking to me every day, walking with me every day, what will happen is the feel good isn't always there, but the fulfillment is always. You know, I was thinking about something the other day, Scott. I am not old, but I am not as young as I was when I started. Some of the things that I dread more than anything is going into the hospital room of a couple that's been married for decade after decade, and one of them is about to go to heaven. I dread it. It is the most gut-wrenching, heartbreaking thing you'll ever be a part of. And that little man or that little woman will look at their spouse in the bed and their bodies begin to convulse trying to find air. And I've watched them, that little husband will look at that wife and they'll say something like this every time. I love you. We've had a good life together. Thank you for being my wife. And I was laying there last night and I thought about that. That is the definition of enjoyment that Christ gives. Because at that point, there is no feel good, but it's all fulfillment. You know why? Because they've had that person in the right place. And Jesus said the reason you cannot grow and enjoy your life is because He is not in the right place in your life. The right place in your life is not church on Sunday, everything else Monday to Friday. Jesus is not a Sunday only God. He's a Monday God, a Tuesday God, a Wednesday God, a Thursday God, a Friday God, a Saturday God, and a Sunday God. And here's what the Roman Catholics messed it up. They think that that means you got to go to Mass. You got to go to this service. Honey, it ain't about going to church. It's about knowing that Jesus is in you and you are the church. It's about knowing when you wake up on Monday, He's just as real on Monday as He is when that choir is singing. He's just as good on Tuesday as He is when they're up there preaching. He's just as good on Wednesday and you can hear His voice. He said, when I am in the right place, place in your life, He said, then you'll know there's one way to grow. There is only one way to live your life, and that is with Christ on the throne. Not the church on the throne, not your job on the throne, not your spouse on the throne, but Christ. Because here's what I'm finding. What I'm finding when my God is on the throne, my marriage is happier, my church is happier, my ministry is happier, everything about me. You know why? Because there's only one way. One way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light.